Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
This is, well, here we are.
Felger.
What?
And Nass.
The whole team suck.
Felger and Nass.
Maybe your part in the back is a little bit loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, just like that, from the Town Fair Tire Studio, it is Felger and Nass here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. And simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, no Felger, no Maz, yet again, here on a re-entry Monday. So instead you get a pairing that, from what I can remember, I think has only happened once, twice, tops, before. You get yours truly, Jim Murray, here in the A-hole chair. Alongside the sports vulture himself, you normally hear him nights here on 98.5, the Sports Hub, the one, the only, the national treasure of negativity, Adam Jones.
What's up?
Hey. You're in the Maz chair here. We also have Matt McCarthy in my normal spot in the update chair and chiming in. How are you, negative SOB?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Ready for this. There's a lot of build-up to it, I guess, out there. You put this out there last night, and the people were very polarized.
Yeah, yeah, as they're wont to do.
They mostly hated it.
Especially when it comes to you. But, like, I mean it when I say it, and I know Jimmy Stewart, who's behind the glass with Billy Lanny, as usual, agrees. You're a national treasure. There's times I literally find myself cackling, listening to you yell like a lunatic.
Well,
when I'm in my car listening to the Adam Jones show.
It's good there's someone out there that likes it. That's good.
Well, if this were ever to happen, you know, if this particular pairing were ever to, like, latch on somewhere, the promos could write themselves, Jones. I hope you know that. Like, after 4 hours of listening to them, you too would want to drink a cup of tainted Kool-Aid in Guyana. It's Jim and Jones on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like it.
Because I, too, tend to be a bit of a negative SOB. A lot to get to from the weekend. You were also off since Thursday morning, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get into Marcus Smart reportedly being hurt and disgusted by the lack of contract negotiating by Danny Ainge and the Celtics. Is there growing concern over Kyrie Irving leaving next summer for the New York Knicks? Gronk, is he still on the table? A couple of Patriots-related items. But I figured we'd start baseball, huh?
Nice.
The old pastime. And the best team in Major League Baseball, everyone, your 62-29 Boston Red Sox. They finished their 9-game road trip 7-2, sweep the Kansas City Royals over the weekend. Wow, that was must-see television. They're 33 games over .500, Jones. They face yet another wretched, unwatchable team starting tonight at Fenway Park with the Texas Rangers. I don't know if you've heard when I've been in with Mike and Tony, or and I've said it on the weekends as well, much like the Bridgie Celtics featuring the mouthy little peanut Isaiah Thomas, I put an asterisk on these 62 wins and growing here for this Red Sox team because they're weighted against terrible competition. Yes, they're a good team. They're one of three good teams in the American League, but do I put them... I mean, they're on pace for, what, 109 wins right now?
Something like that,
yeah. So are they as good as the... I'll just use a local reference here. The 2007 Red Sox that were wire-to-wire, a complete wagon. No, they're not. They're not one of the best Red Sox teams of my lifetime. They're not. They're playing terrible competition. And you know what? We don't really know. So until further notice, asterisk.
Yeah, well, I mean, here I think is the best way to describe how I think most people feel about the Red Sox right now. I don't want to speak for everyone, Jim. I get accused of this sometimes. I paint with too broad of a brush sometimes.
Yep.
So I don't want to speak for everyone. But I think generally Red Sox fans feel this way. Like, what do you put more stock in? Losing 2 out of 3 to the Yankees with David Price getting his brains beat in on national TV or these last two series? Like, I don't even think it's close.
I don't know how it can't be, like, the former. It has to be the former.
They outscored the Royals 42-15 or whatever it was. The Nationals are a .500 team. They sound like they should be better on paper. Bryce Harper sounds great on paper. Then you look at him and you're like, oh, he's hitting .216? Like, I don't know. The Nationals seem more impressive until you actually showed up and watched them every day. The Royals stink. I mean, the 26 wins or whatever they have, they're terrible. So... it's not close. Like, what was more telling? What was more meaningful? 2 out of 3 against the Yankees instead of these last 6 against a .500 team and an awful awful Kansas City team.
And here's how I know I'm right in putting this. And it's just, by the way, it's not a big asterisk like I had on the Bridgie Celtics, which, you know, I mean, I was proven right there because Danny Ainge blew it all up, got the most you were going to get out of that team. It's just a wee asterisk because the Red Sox, they're good. But I'm with you. Like, I get more out of them losing 2 out of 3 to the New York Yankees with David Price getting his face ripped off in prime time. 5 home runs, each one more powerful than the next, is how it felt. It was like, oh my God, he's imploding here at the worst possible time. Of course I take more out of that than these last couple of years. This Kansas City Royals team, oh my God. Even with Price getting in trouble on Saturday night, they still find a way out of it because they mashed. They're a good team. But here's how I know I'm right. Because one of the more ardent baseball defenders that there is in this city, Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, wrote the following. I wanted to get off my couch and applaud and give a golf clap to Dan Shaughnessy yesterday when I read this thing.
Oh, yeah, pretty good, yeah.
BostonGlobe.com. The Red Sox may be red hot, but baseball is striking out in every way. And I'm just going to read some portions of this column here. As much as I love the game, I can no longer defend all things that are hurting the sport. There's too many bad teams. The once proud Orioles are 41 games under 500. There's too many non-competitive games. Couldn't be more right there. There are too many strikeouts. There's not enough balls in play. Baseball stars are increasingly anonymous. And that's been an issue with MLB for ages now. So he goes on to say, is it any surprise? And this part I didn't know. Is it any surprise that MLB attendance is taking a hit? 21 of 30 teams are down from last year. And baseball is on pace for its lowest total attendance since 2003. Folks are staying away. And who can blame them? The product is not keeping up with the times, and it's not very good. Is he wrong in saying that?
No. Like, no. This has been trending this way for a long time with this sport, and it's unfortunate. Like, I like to talk about the Red Sox when they're relevant, and I question how relevant they are right now, you know? And baseball nationally is just not relevant. It's not. In certain markets, it is. New York and St. Louis and Chicago and Boston in the right year, but I don't know. Right now, most fans, I feel like, have been burned by the team the last couple years. Why invest for 6 months to watch them lose in 3 games in October? Like, why do that? Why do that? And that's the standard that we hold these teams to. I thought Jay Stu made a good point in the email. Like, when we've won as many championships in this city as the teams have won, why would you get jazzed up about winning the AL East? Why would you get excited about a division title and getting swept by Cleveland or losing in 4 games to Houston? So I think he's 100% right. I think baseball is dangerously close to going the way, nationally now, it may take longer here, going the way of horse racing, going the way of, I know you guys like to talk your heavyweight boxing, going the way of boxing. Like, it's something that,
it's a niche sport.
Yeah,
ultimately,
it's something that was popular and was the national pastime, you know, when you wore little press labels on your hat. And, you know, there was no NFL. There was no
The old black and white videos of Babe Ruth running real fast.
Yeah.
And everyone clapping real fast.
You wind the video recorder while you're going.
Let's have ourselves a cigar after the ball game. Hey,
hey, have yourself a pack of smokes out there, babe, over at first base. So, like, I get that it's been popular. I get that as a child it was popular. Like, I think the All-Star Game's a great example. When I was a kid, I loved the All-Star Game. I'd pour over the All-Star rosters. I feel like people don't care now. So, yeah, it's dangerously close of going the way of horse racing, prize fighting, whatever. That's the direction it's trending, and it needs to do something drastic to fix that. And it won't. They're too dumb to figure it out.
Now, you and I obviously lean into the dark side, so let's gauge someone who lives, eats, breathes, poops the sport, and that's Matt McCarthy, who is in my normal spot in the update studio and chiming in as well. You host the Hardcore Baseball Podcast on 98.5 thesportshub.com.
Wearing a nice baseball polo. Sea Dogs.
You were the color man or the play-by-play guy for the Portland Sea Dogs at one point?
Both.
All right, so
yes.
You've been around the game. You love the game. This is your A-number-one sport. Hell, I bet you go to Cape League games when you get a chance, too, don't you?
That I do, yes.
Are we wrong, and is Dan Shaughnessy also wrong, in saying baseball striking out in every way, and that I put an asterisk on these 62 wins looking at this Red Sox team this year?
I love baseball more than just about anybody, but it's hard to disagree with anything that Dan's saying in that article. I mean, and that pains me to say, but the game is faced with so many issues that they're not appropriately addressing. There are no stars in baseball. Mike Trout is an historically good player, yet nobody knows who he is, which is just unbelievable. Pace of play, no competition, run down the list. Like, everything that Dan lays out in this article is true. I don't know if I'm going to go so far as Jones to say that, you know, baseball is about to become prize fighting or horse racing. I mean, let's be honest. Baseball did dust the NBA Finals. The World Series dusted the NBA Finals in the ratings last year. But things are trending in the wrong direction. And I'm not even the most ardent baseball fan. I mean, you can't deny that. It's clear as day. And this season has made it more clear as day than any other season in the past.
I would just point out the NBA dusts baseball overall in ratings, but in the World
yeah,
Series,
but in the premier event.
No, and yeah. Well, right. So fine. So you know, if you get
you get
Mayweather De La Hoya, or yeah. you get Mayweather and McGregor, that'll pull ratings. You know, mm-hmm. you can have a signature event every once and then, but people don't watch April to October. Well, April to September, rather. Yeah,
the problem is there aren't enough premier events in baseball, and even the All-Star Game, which was once the ultimate, you know, one of the premier events in the sporting landscape in this country, it's not the way that it once was. So you're totally right about that. I mean, baseball's premier events are still drawing more than the NBA, the NHL, but you don't have enough of those, and that's a big problem for the sport moving forward.
Well, just look at the last couple of years, too. Their postseasons and the respective World Series of the last two seasons have been awesome.
It's been great.
World Series have been good.
Yeah.
But beyond that, like, I don't know, this year there's far much more to talk about in terms of the National League, I think. Mm-hmm. In the American League, it's three teams to me. And I know, look, Cleveland's going to probably make some moves and still be in it. I don't take Seattle seriously. I've heard you two, neither do you, and rightfully so.
No, I take Cleveland, I think, more seriously than you do, but I don't take Seattle seriously at all.
But for me now, it's three teams. The Astros is the reigning champions, and the Red Sox and Yankees. That's it. And I mean, and I make no apologies for it. Small little asterisk, but it's there, and I just wonder if you, the Red Sox fan, at 617-779-0985, are expecting another disappointment. Because, frankly, until further notice, I think you'd be crazy not to. So we want to hear from you here on Felger and Maz. It's Jim and Jones in the afternoon. Gloom and doom in the afternoon.
Get your cyanide ready.
Here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, we'll get to you and get a little bit deeper into this Dan Shaughnessy column on the BostonGlobe.com yesterday. And, of course, up there 24/7 in the paper today. The Red Sox may be red hot, but baseball is striking out in every way. When baseball's lost Shaughnessy, you know that it's a real problem. So we'll get to you and touch more on this column coming up next here on Felger and Maz on a re-entry Monday, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz. That's been some road trip for the Red Sox. Alex Cora said 7-2 would be a great trip. One strike away from that. He gets it. That's the ball game. The Red Sox indeed win 6 in a row. And finish off Kansas City. Another sweep as the Red Sox come home with a full head of steam.
Yeah, final call of yesterday's game in Kansas City. 7-4 the final. Another series, another sweep for the Red Sox. 9-game road trip. They finished 7-2. And hey, you know what? Look, I don't want to poo-poo it too much. By the way, it's Felger and Maz here on a re-entry Monday. Jim Murray, Adam Jones in for the guys today. Got Matt McCarthy alongside as well. And you at 617-779-0985. I don't want to poo-poo it too much because, you know, they are cleaning up on terrible competition, which there is no shortage of in the American League. And, you know, they maintain the 2-game lead over the New York Yankees in the American League East. And they're going to have to, you know, because these two are going to be neck and neck between now and October. So good. But I don't know how much I'm supposed to take out of another series like this, Jones, in that I take more out of, you know, you mentioned earlier them losing to the Yankees 2 out of 3. I get more out of that than I do out of these last couple of series sweeps against the Washington Nationals and this lowly, wretched Kansas City Royals team. And they start up a series with another lowly, wretched team tonight in the Texas Rangers. Like, I don't know how seriously I'm supposed to take this. I don't know how anyone can take this serious until they either face the Yankees again at the beginning of August, or we got to wait until October.
Right. No, I mean, and it's not just that they lost 2 out of 3 to the Yankees. Like that, you know, that always perks me up a little bit.
Yeah, they get destroyed in those two games.
No, but those games are telling because that's who you're going to be going against. So, I mean, what can you get out of Kansas City? Like, just go to Saturday. I know we obsess about David Price, but, like, go to that game. He gets the lead handed back to him, right? After he comes out, he pitches poorly. He gets the lead handed back to him. What does he do? Hits 3 guys in an inning, like ties a major league record. Kansas City gets the game back in hand, and the Red Sox just run away from him because they're head and shoulders better than the Royals. So you don't get a good outing. You actually get a historically bad outing from David Price, whose head is now looked like it was screwed on correctly for 9 whole starts. And now the last 2, he's a mess again. His ERA's in the mid-4s. Like, he sucks again. And they still win that game going 15-4 or whatever it was on Saturday. How How can you possibly take anything away from a game like that?
You can't. You can't. I mean, again, it proves the Red Sox should be cleaning up against bad competition, which they're doing. They're a good team. But it's more the more compelling and, I think, telling sample size is David Price up until those first five innings. I mean, that fifth inning on Saturday was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I figured, okay, you know what? He has, to use a term brilliantly used by Chris Gasper of the Boston Globe, he has pinstripe PTSD. Like, that's a real thing. I think he still has the stuff.
It's good alliteration.
He wasn't what he was even, you know, a year or two ago. But there's been a drop-off there, I think, in terms of, you know, whether it's a mechanical issue or something. Like, Price isn't what he was a couple of years ago. Maybe it's just age. But either way, when it comes to the Yankees and these big moments, that's a mental thing. So how do you... I figured he'd bounce back against the Royals. After he hit that first guy, like, that was... The finger came out of the dam. Like, that's a mental issue. Like, you lost it. So how can I not look at that and say, look, of course I can't trust this team in another series against the Yankees that come to playoffs, because they have to count on this guy, and he can't do it.
Against Kansas City.
Yeah.
In July.
Right.
Like he's unraveling against one of the worst teams in... Unraveling. You know, again, it's completely a mental thing. You don't just keep hitting guys because you're wild. You're inside your own head. It's like, you don't give up five home runs against the Yankees because all of a sudden you just lost your feel. Like, you're in your own head. You're psyching yourself out. The finger's out of the dam. So, yeah, the guy who melts down in July against the Yankees, you guarantee he's going to melt down in October. He's done it his whole career. The guy who melts down in July against one of the worst teams in baseball, the Kansas City Royals, you guarantee he's going to do it in October. So again, like, why aren't people in general now latching on and identifying with this team? Why doesn't this team resonate? That's why. No one believes in them. And David Price is like the perfect microcosm for that.
And maybe I'm buying too much into social media, which, as you know, Jones, is a sewer. Because, you know, when I retweet Dan Shaughnessy's column last night, the Red Sox may be red hot, but baseball striking out in every way. And I was like, you know what? Kudos to Shaughnessy. This is some of his best work in a while, and he's 100% right. And you get these people. No, I don't know how the Red Sox 62 wins. You're an a-hole. You're just too negative. You're working with Jones tomorrow? Screw you both. I'm not listening. I'm sorry. Like, please, I would love to hear from you. 617-779-0985. Make your case. Why do you still buy into this team?
I'm surprised baseball fans use Twitter. That feels a little new age for
them. Yeah, no, instead it's bring bring Mabel. Mabel, get me the Sports Hub. Get him right now. I got things to say to these two youngins.
Patch me through.
And as I said in the first segment, when you've kind of lost as ardent a baseball defender as there is, and Dan Shaughnessy
and McCarthy,
yeah, when you've lost these two, your sport has a problem. And I think you're right to be like Jones and I, to and McCarthy obviously now, and Shaughnessy, to look at this Red Sox team and say, like, 62 wins, but yeah, do I really take this seriously? Some of the other stuff I wanted to just read from his column, though. Pace of play. He goes on to say it's made the game largely unwatchable on television. Tom Verducci recently put his stopwatch to work and calculated that the average time between balls in play is 3 minutes 45 seconds. This is unacceptable. It's killing the sport. There's simply not enough action. And, again, something else he couldn't be more right about. And the other thing, too, that I found very telling, and also not surprising, considering so many times that where I've been around, and you used to have to go get sound over at Fenway. Like, baseball players, man, they are a different breed. Those are coddled children that really never grew up. He goes on to talk about how, well, from USA Today, they recently polled 63 big leaguers, and the results demonstrated a stunning lack of awareness. The lack of self-awareness by Major League Baseball players will never cease to amaze me as well. Like, how do they not realize the game has to change? If they want their sport to still be what, you know, if it still wants to be known as the national pastime, do they want to have younger viewers going forward? You have to change. You have to speed things up. You have to. Players evidently do not believe that today's strikeout glut or snail-like pace of play present any problem. More than half the players polled say they're unconcerned about a game that now primarily features walks, strikeouts, and homers. 93% of those responded believe the lack of action is okay.
93%.
You rockheads. Asked if pace of play changers are working, one player remarked, quote, assumes there was a problem in the first place, end quote.
It's probably David Price.
Right. Even if David Ortiz was still in the game, as much as I loved him, I would think it would come from him. Simply not enough competitive games, especially in 2018 in the American League. Orioles on pace to lose 118 games. The Royals, 116. The White Sox, 108. Like, it's...
Why do you think that is? This haves and have-nots that we have, especially in the American League, and it feels like we have across all of sports. Why do you think there's that much imbalance in the American League right now?
Well, I mean, you have straight up tanking that's going on both in the American League and in Major League Baseball as a whole. Look what the Pittsburgh Pirates are doing, selling off the likes of Andrew McCutchen and Garrett Cole and players like that. I think a lot of it has to do with that. Why do you think it's something else in terms of a financial aspect?
Yeah, I do. And an emailer pointed this out to me like a month ago, and I thought it was a good point, but I didn't really know what to do with it. But it's just I think across sports now you have. You know, you have the luxury tax in baseball. You know, you have the luxury tax in the NBA. You have these owners who are they're going to make their money no matter what. You know, you can field a team like Pittsburgh or like Florida. You can field a team like that, or like Houston in the past, or the Cubs in the past.
Right.
And you'll be supplemented by the Red Sox and the Yankees at the top. So, yeah, I think it's the greed of ownership. And I think this system now that the owners have set up where you can just make money no matter what. You can suck and there's no repercussion. In fact, it's actually worth your time. You'll make money in the meantime. You'll get high draft picks. And maybe in 5 years, you'll be competitive again. And if not, oh, well, just keep taking that check hand over fist year in and year out. Like, yeah, I think there's an issue to that. And, you know, I think the Red Sox are their ownership is a different type of greed. It's not that they're not spending. It's that, oh, we can't go into the luxury tax. We can't possibly do that, even though they make money hand over fist with their television contract and their loyal fan base. It's like,
well, that I find ridiculous too, because they have to know that the window here is what, you know, we're now a year into this 3 or 4 year window. Like, you need to win. You can't be complaining about the luxury tax.
Part of the reason no one's investing in your team right now, John Henry, is because no one believes you're going to do anything. No one, you're saving your money for Linda's next purse instead of going out and spending on a player. Like, instead of going out and contending with the Yankees for whoever they're going to be after, no one believes you're going to do that because you won't go into the luxury tax when you're the Red Sox, which is asinine.
Could you give me a little John Henry going into Bloomingdale's shopping for a purse for Linda?
Oh, Linda, what are you looking at over there? I think I should get her a pair of Jimmy Choo's as well.
Is he right in thinking this way, McCarthy, or is it more about tanking? And because it's obviously worked. I mean, it has worked. Well, look at the Houston Astros. I mean,
well, I think owners and some of these teams are using tanking as a ruse to essentially line their own pockets. I mean, the Tampa Bay Rays designated Corey Dickerson for assignment this offseason. He was an all-star last year. They didn't even trade him. They didn't try to get better. They designated him for assignment. They cut him.
Yeah, the Red Sox just did that with Hanley.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, of course, because they didn't want to pay the $22 million, and maybe something else was going on there.
Linda needed new shoes. We had to release Hanley.
There's a lack of interest in competing in baseball, and that's a problem, because the Cubs and the Astros have become powerhouses because they did sell off their pieces, they sold off their assets, and, you know, restocked the farm system, and now, you know, they're absolute wagons. But other teams are saying, hey, we can do that, because we can say, oh, the Cubs and the Astros did that. But they're not rebuilding their farm system or anything. They're just lining their pockets. The Rays and the Marlins are the two perfect examples of that.
All right, so I promise we're going to get to your calls here, as we have all full phone lines here as we're opening up talking about the Red Sox. And my bigger question overall as we open up talking about the Sox, again, another series sweep, 62 wins, best team in baseball, yawn. They're good. I can't take it too seriously. That's why I have a wee little asterisk on them, a la the Bridgie Celtics of a couple of years ago with Isaiah Thomas. Until they prove it against the Yankees, or maybe come October, it's all I got to do, Jones, is just sit here for the next couple of months and watch these awful series against the Royals, the Rangers, the Tigers, the Orioles, the Blue Jays. Like, oh my God. I can't take them seriously. So do you? Do you look at the 62 wins and say, yes, you know what? This is the year this Red Sox, this team, with this core is going to get over the hump. And I believe in them. Let's hear from you. 617-779-0985. As soon as someone drops off, we'll get to you. But I promise we'll get to your phone calls. And David Price, he's turned into a mental puddle over these last couple of starts. And if you think me and my goofy impersonation are going to run him out of town this offseason, well, it sounds like you're going to be disappointed. We'll get to that as well after the Hub headlines here with Matt McCarthy. It's Felger and Maz on a re-entry Monday on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The last five outs recorded by Price have been strikeouts. As Moustakas gets hit. A little bit of a preview into the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry, perhaps, for Mike Moustakas.
Yes, it's a preemptive strike from David Price.
1-2 on Perez. And that
Nick Perez, so he will head down to first, and the Royals have loaded the bases here in the fifth inning. Bases loaded, two outs. Red Sox lead by a run. Third hit batsman of the inning, forcing in the tying run. And that will be all for David Price. After hitting two batters all season long, three in one inning in the span of four batters, Moustakas, Perez, and now Duda.
Gift wrapped. Tie ball game.
That really was something on Saturday night. David Price, he has turned into a complete mental puddle over his last couple of starts. I mean, the Yankees, fine. I mean, it's a tough pill to swallow, but I get it because it's happened before. The Royals on Saturday night, once he hit that first batter, oh my God. The finger came out of the dam. Like, it's a real problem. The Red Sox got to get him to a sports psychologist. If they haven't already, do it again. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's a re-entry Monday. You get Jim Murray and Adam Jones in for the guys today alongside Matt McCarthy and you at 617-779-0985. And if you think that he's going to opt out, you got another thing coming. We'll get to a quote from David Price that was on the internet in just a short amount of time, but I want to get to the phone calls because I've yet to do so. So let's start off with John and Beverly on David Price. You're first up here on Felger and Mass today. Hey, John.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Okay, here's the thing. You're right. He's not opting out because why would he for that amount of money, because nobody's going to give it to him going forward. If all we ever did is discuss how, you know, how overpriced so many of these guys are, then that we would only do it, you know, that's the only thing the show would be about. But at some point you have to look at the lack of accountability on the part of somebody who gets paid like this and has not been able to deliver really anything. And
well, John, on that, I'm going to let you go, because I said it's mostly a mental thing with David Price, but as you put in the email chain, Jones, you think he just kind of sucks. You think it's more stuff than anything else, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, so again, I think he's delusional, like delusional. After the Yankees game, he gives up five home runs. He's like, yeah, I might have been tipping my pitches. It's like, oh, okay, sure, you're tipping your pitches against them, David. That must be it. You haven't been terrible against them now for, you know, your entire tenure in Boston. You got to be tipping your pitches against the Yankees. Yeah. That must be it. So his ERA now is 4.44. Okay, he's got a mid-4s ERA. In 2.5 years in Boston, his ERA is 3.99, a.k.a. 4. He's got a 4 ERA, making $31 million a year in 2.5 years. And prior to these last two starts, Big Jim, he is running around with his chest puffed out like, I don't get why people don't see how awesome I am. And it's just, he's delusional. He's delusional if he doesn't understand that he's just not good.
Oh, that's what made that start against the Yankees a couple of Sundays back just even worse. I mean, it was the implosion, and then that was following all that talk, you know, and fine. All right, we give it to him too hard, so he decided to get a little bit cute, and I'm going to get back at you guys, and you don't believe in me, and nope, it's about Fortnite. Yeah, no, that's what it's about. Like, all that kind of stuff, and I would think, okay, maybe he's lit a fire under his ass, and he's going to go, nope, none of that happened.
No.
In fact, it was as bad as it gets. Maybe his worst start as a member of the Red Sox.
He thinks like these little 2 month run, and there were some nice starts in there. He pitched well against Houston in there.
Yep.
Was it Seattle? He pitched well against too. Like, there's another playoff team in there. So fine. I mean, you give him credit when he has decent starts here and there, but it's the Twins and it's the Orioles and it's the Rays. And it's like, you actually get to a real life talented team in front of a national audience now on Sunday Night Baseball, as much of a national audience as baseball gets, in the middle of July with the death rattle of the sport, and he just completely implodes. And he wanted to be anywhere but that mound. Like, I don't know if he was self-sabotaging out there, but I think he was like looking to Cora, like, get me out of here. Why am I out here?
Save me,
yeah,
daddy.
Like, can someone come out and get me, please? And he just kept serving up meatball after meatball after meatball to the guy who now's hit a couple of home runs since, but the catcher who was 0-for-22 didn't even have a hit in his big league career. And it's like, all he needed to get right was to face David Price moonshot, and then Price finally got out of the game. But he wanted to be anywhere but that mound on Sunday Night Baseball, and that happens with him more than it should for a player with his talent or his pedigree.
Roger in Manchester. You're next here on Felger and Maz on a reentry Monday. Hey, Roger.
Okay, how are you guys doing today?
Good. What's up?
Okay, you said to put an asterisk on the Red Sox record so far, right?
Mm-hmm.
What about the Yankees? What about the Astros? Put an asterisk on those teams. They play the same teams as we do.
Well, but those teams have actually won in the postseason. You know, like the Houston won it all, and Houston won it all, and the Yankees were in the. Well, no, I'm not missing your point. If the Red Sox hadn't choked in the playoffs the last 2 years, we'd probably buy in more to what they're doing this year.
No, I'm talking about point blank. The Red Sox, you had an asterisk. You should have an asterisk on the Yankees for the regular season.
Well, I'll tell you why I don't on the Yankees, because the Red Sox have a 12-11 record against playoff teams currently, and they're 10-10 against those American playoff 10-10 against American League playoff teams, and the Yankees they're 20-8. And 16-6 against those American League playoff
teams. That's the playoffs. I'm talking about right now, the season we have.
No, I know. That's why I'm not putting one on the Yankees.
So in other words, if the Yankees finish second and we finish first, what do you do then?
Well, I would fully expect the Yankees to end up going further in the playoffs and the Red Sox to be out in that first round.
I'd have to pick my jaw up off the ground to figure out how the Red Sox finished in front of New York, but I would say, okay, like, fine, so they did it. I still wouldn't believe in the Red Sox won the division last year, and they lost in four games, and the Yankees got to game seven of the ALCS. So, I don't know. It didn't really matter who finished in first last year. Your asterisk is fine.
Let's go to Sam in the car. You're next here on Felger and Maz on a reentry Monday. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Jimmy. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, all right. So, real quick about David Price. I know this isn't what it was about, but his head is screwed on with plastic threads into a metal anchor. That's why it always pops off. But anyway, how to fix baseball, less is more. Take a roll out of the toilet paper industry. Half the amount of games. You'll have less pitching changes. Pitchers will be able to go longer in games. You take away the DH. Add some strategy back into the game. It's ridiculous what these guys are doing. Don't let them step out of the box. Actually enforce the rules. It's not fun to watch.
Well, one of the things right
many games.
Yeah, Sam, one of the things right off the top, like if they have to get rid of the shift, your effing shift. Like we need more offense. You want this game to be more palatable, especially to younger viewers? Get rid of that shift. It has to be get rid of that damn thing.
Well, and you shift against the Jackie Bradley Juniors of the world now,
right,
too, which is ridiculous. You know, so that used to be reserved for, you know, Ted Williams, and now you're putting on the shift for Jackie Bradley Jr. Like, I get that you're trying to win baseball games, and it's probably smart, and, you know, the dorks have it all figured out in front offices. I understand that, but, right, it kills you to watch the game. It kills you.
All right, so as I mentioned, David Price doesn't sound like he's going to be going anywhere, despite the fact he's looked like, well, David Price, since he became a member of the Red Sox in his last couple of starts, a mental puddle. John Morosi of MLB Network, tweeting earlier today, asked David Price about possibility of opting out after this year. He said,
I want to win. I want to win here, and I want to win now. We all know the amount of ability we have in this clubhouse. I'm focused on winning right now. I haven't thought about opting out.
End quote. And I guess I'm not surprised, because, look, nobody's going to give him the kind of money that he's getting here. It's the right decision for him and his family from a financial standpoint. But as a Red Sox fan, I don't know how you could swallow that pill and not want to cough it right back up.
Well, but you say it's the right decision from a financial standpoint. Yeah, maybe, but
from a comfortability standpoint?
Aren't they just miserable?
Yeah, no, it ain't. So here's my recommendation to David Price. Listen, and I won't even say it in your goofy impersonation voice. You should just, you know, take the financial hit and leave, because you're miserable here. We all know you're miserable here. It's how much more do we need to see?
You're miserable. Your family's miserable. Like, and I also, I've said this a bunch, Jim, so forgive me for repeating myself, but no one should feel bad. If David Price opts in, whatever few David Price defenders there are out there, I think they're dwindling now in the media and among the fan base, but whatever few David Price defenders there are out there.
No, I think it's Carrabas, a couple of the Barstool guys, and Dan Roach.
Yeah. You're going to have to take the hit on those David Price or good t-shirts, Barstool. But I think that when it comes to Price, anyone defending him, like, you can't feel bad for him anymore that he gets mistreated in Boston if he willingly chooses to stay here beyond this year. Like, he fully controls it. He fully controls it. So if you don't want to be here, David, don't be here. But if you want to be here, then that's your choice, and don't cry about it.
And after reading this, too, like, I sat here last week with Felger and Maz, and, you know, after he got his face ripped off against the Yankees, I said he was the living embodiment of a letdown. He was the living embodiment of the lyrics of Nine Inch Nails' Hurt. After reading this, David Price has become the living embodiment of HPV. You're not getting rid of him.
Oh, you thought I was going to leave? You should have never fooled around with me in the first place. You should have known better. Now you got that little, you got a breakout on your mouth? A sore in your mouth? You ain't getting rid of it. That's me.
I promise, right to your phone calls here. As soon as someone drops off, you want to talk Sox and all things baseball in the Stan Shaughnessy column, which we'll continue to dive into here on Felger and Mass. Let's hear from you at 617-779-0985. Our long commercial-free segment is next on a Reentry Monday.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Mass. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Felger and Mass and a Reentry Monday. No Felger, no Mass once again today, so you get Big Jim Murray here in the A-hole chair alongside the Dark Knight himself. The sports vulture.
Ooh.
Adam Jones.
Ooh.
In the Mass chair. We have Matt McCarthy alongside as well. And you at 617-779-0985. One open phone line if you want to join us here in our long commercial-free segment. Near 20 minutes commercial-free. Before we get to the calls, though, I do want to remind you about the Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive happening this Saturday, July 14th. In case you don't know, and I heard Zoe and Beetle talking about this during the midday, I didn't even know this. I mean, it's obviously a good event, and donating blood is always a good thing, but there's an emergency blood shortage, and American Red Cross is, they need eligible donors of all blood types, of course, but especially type O, to give now and to help save lives. So if that's you, and you can come out at the Best Western in Woburn this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3:30 in the afternoon, we and the American Red Cross, of course, would appreciate that. And also, the first 80 donors will receive a coupon for a free appetizer from Waxy O'Connor's. Walk-ins are welcome. You can schedule an appointment at redcrossblood.org. It's the Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive happening this Saturday from 10 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon at the Best Western in Woburn. All right, we're opening up talking baseball and the Red Sox, who are the best team in baseball, 62 wins, but I put an asterisk on it. I make no apologies for it because it's weighted. They're playing crap competition night after night after night. It's happening again tonight as they welcome in the Texas Rangers to Fenway Park.
And by the way, have we heard from anybody who disagrees yet? Like that last caller kind of said, if you're going to put an asterisk on the Red Sox, you got to do it on the Yankees and the Astros. Maybe that's quasi-defending the Red Sox.
Yeah, but the Yankees have cleaned up pretty much on playoff competition, whereas the Red Sox are, like 500 against them.
And again, the last 2 years, and especially last year with New York, that's informing at least my opinion of this team this year and that team this year. Like, if the Red Sox hadn't been one and done the last couple of years, I'd probably be giving them more benefit of the doubt, but it's like, how am I supposed to believe when this might be the third year in a row they're doing the exact same thing?
Yeah, and they still have major flaws like that bullpen. And even in some of these wins over this last week.
Tyler Thornburg came back and looked good.
Oh, we'll get to him, the latest name on the wheel of gutless bums. Hey, he's finally making an appearance. Oh, that's how he looks? Oh, good. But let's go to Joe and Hingham. You're next here on Felger and Mazz on a Reentry Monday. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. So I just wanted to make a point in regards to the Red Sox and how they've played the Yankees this year. So far they're 4-5 against the Yankees, with six of those games being played at Yankee Stadium. So, I mean, it's pretty even between both of the teams. Obviously, you give the Yankees the one game edge because they've had more games at home. But, Murray, I keep hearing you saying, we're going to give the Yankees the benefit of the doubt, but the one big thing that's changed from the Yankees' standpoint from last season to this season is, Joe Girardi leaving and, first year manager Aaron Boone. So I don't know. From that perspective, it kind of makes me think, the Red Sox and the Yankees are in a very similar boat. They're both with, very young managers. They're both very talented teams, and they're both really beating up on bad teams.
Well, again, I brought up the numbers to a prior caller. Look, the Yankees aren't, I'm not sitting here saying the Yankees, don't get it twisted, they're infinitely better than the Red Sox. They have major flaws too. Please, Sonny Gray should be thrown off a cliff. He got his face ripped off again, and they need to do something with that rotation. But again, the Red Sox, 12-11 against playoff teams for .522. They're 10-10 against the American League playoff teams so far this year. The Yankees, they're 20-8 with the percentage at .721. 16-6 against American League playoff teams, including the Red Sox. In the second half, the Red Sox play 27 of their final 54 games against playoff teams, 10 against the Yankees, so that's where they're going to get tested. Meanwhile, the Yankees play only 13 of their final 55 against playoff teams.
And
that's where they'll clean up.
And New York has a chance to get better.
Yeah, right.
Like at the deadline. Now, that I think can be a little overstated. Like, I don't know, if the Yankees get J-Hap, if that's the best pitcher.
Who got his face ripped off on Saturday.
Yeah, does that change your opinion?
Not really.
No, and Sonny Gray, you just mentioned him, he was their big get last year. Like, Arcan's made this point a lot, and I think it's a fair one. Last year we thought the Yankees won the deadline, they got Sonny Gray and Todd Frazier, they both stink.
Right.
So, I mean, if that's what the Yankees get at the deadline, then maybe we're overselling their ability to upgrade a little bit, but I think that's another reason to give them the benefit of the doubt. They went further than the Red Sox last year. They've been better against playoff competition this year, and they have a higher ceiling based on their farm system.
They have more assets.
That is non-existent with the Red Sox right now. So, yeah, I think there's a few reasons to give them more leash than Boston. You would have Houston at the top of the heap, though?
I would, yes.
So, same with me.
Yeah.
They won the whole thing. They're really good again. Their division, I guess Seattle's not terrible. They haven't fallen away yet. I've expected them to fall off sooner, but yeah, I would still have Houston at the top of the heap as well.
Drew in the car on something you were mentioning earlier, the luxury tax. Go ahead, Drew. You're next here on Felger and Mazin, a reentry Monday.
Good afternoon. Yeah, I just want to clarify because you had made the comment how the Red Sox aren't willing to go over the luxury tax. And, I mean, they are so far over the luxury tax. The only thing they're not willing to do, and you can't blame them for that, is they're not willing to go over this last threshold, which
why can't I blame them for that?
Because the next threshold actually has player development problems. You really lose on the next one.
Yeah,
they've
but it, isn't
over
it
the other ones that just cost them money?
Isn't it like is, hang on. Isn't it like they go down like 10 spots in the draft?
That's correct. 10 spots.
And they all
oh no, oh, I'm sorry. Oh no.
Money.
Oh boy. Oh, they lose out on some international bonus money too, so they can't Rusne Castillo. Oh no. Oh boy.
Tax. That's not even fair. The one thing you can't say about this ownership group is they don't spend money. They spend money.
No, I can
say it.
They won't spend any more money. Why'd they cut Hanley Ramirez? I'm fine with them cutting Hanley, but why'd they
Hanley
do it?
Ramirez,
it's about money.
They don't want to pay him 22 next year because
okay.
it's not
so,
worth
right. So there you go.
So there
not,
you go.
So they're not spending money. Not. I mean, they're spending money compared to like the Marlins. Congratulations, but they should be willing to, I don't know, go out there and get a key acquisition, go out there and get a key player.
And I don't want to go so far as to say they're cheap because they're not, but they're fiscally conservative, which they shouldn't be. And as you said, you know, jokingly, kind of, maybe it's because John Henry's going to Bloomingdale's because Linda needs a new purse. She needs a new Hermes.
At times they've been cheap, though. They would have John Lester if they wanted to spend some money.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, really.
I don't know if cheap is the right word, but they should just be more willing to surge into the luxury tax. Like, they should be more willing to spend to put this team over the top.
They have at times decided we're not going to spend money. I mean, it's like the Red Sox decide on a whim. You know, one offseason, no, we'll blow all this money. The next offseason, no, we can't. You know, we're not going to go into the luxury tax. They decide, they just change their minds. We're not going to spend money. We're going to spend money. We're not going to spend money. And if you can find a rhyme or a reason for that, please tell me, because I've been trying to figure that out for a long time.
All right, Matt McCarthy's going to get you caught up with the Hub headlines here. We're getting into hour number two of Felger and Maz on a reentry Monday. We're going to stick with baseball here for a bit because I want to dive a little bit more into Dan Shaughnessy's brilliant column of the Boston Globe. Today, the Red Sox may be red hot, but baseball is striking out in every way. That, along with your phone calls here in our long commercial-free segment, here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Felger and Maz
on 98.5
The Sports Hub.